Good morning. So we're having an unconventional morning this morning, if y'all haven't noticed, amen. We don't have any Panera Bread, we don't have many words on the screen, but the Holy Spirit is here. Amen. I'm Crystal, I am the pastor here at City Well, and I must confess to you all that I don't have a sermon. Amen. So someone who I love to hear is my brother Alan. I want to invite you up. Alan sings, and it makes me feel like preaching. So I've invited him up to sing for us this morning. Amen. Amen.
Oh, Lord, just a little while longer. Hold on, just a little while longer. Hold on, just a little while longer. Everything is gonna be all right. I came to Jesus just as I was weary, wounded, and sad, but I found in Him a resting place, and He has made me glad. So sit well, oh God, just a little while longer. Yeah.
Amen, amen. My reading is from Acts chapter 1, chapters 1 and 2. I'm led to do a midrash, as it were. Listen to these words from what most Bibles call the Acts of the Apostles, but better titled the Acts of the Holy Spirit. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. All of these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others sneered and said, they are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. in the last days it will be. God declares that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know. This man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, brothers and sisters, siblings, what should we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God has called. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. Sisters and brothers, siblings in Christ, when I came to you, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness, because I am a black woman in these United States, and in fear. To be honest, I really don't like public speaking, and in much troubling, because when the Holy Spirit comes upon me, it makes me shake. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, even though I went over there to that school and got that degree. But I pray in the name of Jesus that it will be with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that all of our faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. And let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. Those were the words of Paul from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So, I went to the school not too far from here, and they teach you how to preach. It's interesting. It's a class of us, and we get together, and we critique each other's sermons. They tell us to do it in 15 minutes or less, or your grade will go down. At least they were doing that when I was there. So, y'all, this is going to be short. I had a good group of folks. We didn't try to cut each other down. We usually tried to edify each other. When we were on our best days, we would say, you did this, do it better. I had a really good group. But because you had to submit this to the professor, we learned to have a manuscript, something that you wrote out. For me, 14-inch font, Times New Romans, double space, 5 to 6 pages. That's what I do. A couple of you have remarked that I've had a formula for a while. I tell you a little story, get you to laugh, because I was told you need to tell stories. And then once I do that, I enter into the passage, because we all need an entry place to the Word of God. I give you good 3 points, because I was raised non-denominational, really Baptist. I try to tell you how to apply it to your life, and then we leave. Hopefully, we have seen the Lord somehow, some way. So this week, you can imagine my dismay when I tried to go for my formula yet again, and the Holy Spirit said no. not this week. You're not going to fall back on your degree. You're not going to fall back on your research or those commentaries. You're going to wait on me. So wait I did. And wait some more. 3 o'clock in the morning, I was awake and I said, hey, I'm still waiting. And as the Lord always does, gives me what I need when I need it. But it wasn't what I wanted, y'all. I still don't have no sermon. The Lord has been showing me that this sermon series that we are about to engage in, this 4 weeks of conversing about the Holy Spirit, even as we continue on our Sabbath, it is a time to get back to the basics. Guess back to when we didn't have any Panera Bread or any words on the screen. When all we knew was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Where we waited on the Holy Spirit like our Quaker brothers and sisters still do in a room. We don't say nothing until the Holy Spirit shows up. Because there's nothing to say until the Holy Spirit shows up. Where we are going to engage with what it means to know fire and oil, water and wind, the pledge to see the dove, and to know that we have been sealed with that bond of the Holy Spirit. We are going to engage what it means to experience the fruit of the Spirit, because you already have it, and we need to be stirring it up in each other. What about the gifts of the Spirit? Where someone might just interrupt my sermon because they have a prophecy, and I sit down. Thus saith the Lord. Or we get honest about what we're already engaged in, even though we don't want to acknowledge it, spiritual warfare. Because we are battling, even if we don't acknowledge it, or the weapons of our warfare that are not carnal. We have a lot to talk about. But today, I wanted to give you this good foundation. I wanted to start us off well. I wanted to have something very eloquent to say about the Holy Spirit. Couldn't type anything. So here we go. I love Acts. Jesus has ascended, and now he's telling his disciples what they're about to do. You are going to receive the Holy Spirit. They don't know what that is, but what they do know is it means that they're going to have power to be witnesses. In Jerusalem, the center of religious and political authority. In Judea, right in your hometown with your mom and dad and your family. To Samaria, your supposed enemies and the other. And to the ends of the earth, the places that you never even heard of and never wanted to go to. That is where you will be witnesses. This is your mission. I gave you a bit of midrash, and so I ask you, please go back and read all of Acts chapter 1 and 2 so you can get the full story. I don't want to paint this picture beautifully. There were some more things happening, but I wanted us to be keen on what the Holy Spirit was doing in the midst. They were praying. And they made mention of the women that were there, even Jesus' mother, Mary. They were there praying, and the Holy Spirit came in like a violent wind, and they began to speak in new tongues. Everyone in the area got to hear this good news of Jesus Christ. And some folks said, they must be drunk. Something is going on, and they've had some new wine. Peter stands up, full of the Holy Spirit. And we know Peter, rough around the edges, the one who denied Christ but was asked to be the shepherd. Peter is the one who stands up and gives his inaugural sermon. I assume he didn't have a manuscript either. And he recounts who Jesus is and what he has done and what God has done through him. This is the Lord and the Messiah. And with so much dynamis, where we get that word dynamite, power, everyone wants to know, what do we do? For we have to respond to this. I wanted to recount what I read. But I also want to give you this story. In 1906, many of you may have heard, well, probably from gospel singer and pastor Hezekiah Walker's 2013 album, Azusa New Generation, where we get every praise, we sing it here, every praise is to our God. I knew nothing about Azusa Street until that album. And then when I went to school, I made sure to study what happened in 1906. What happened at the inauguration of what we call Pentecostalism? In Los Angeles there, Seymour, an African-American who had been tutored by a white man, was able to show a demonstration, to allow the demonstration of the Holy Spirit in a way that the United States probably has never seen. It's interesting what the LA Times reports about it, though, because they don't talk too much about his need for the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. No, no, no. What they constantly report on is that it was a multicultural gathering. That white pastors from the South would come knowing that the Negroes were going to be there. And they attest to the fact that the Holy Spirit showed up and they were blessed right there with their black brothers. A demonstration of God's power in the unity of the races. Divided tongues, unity of the races. When God shows up, there's always some evidence. Something amazing happens. When you look through the history of what happened there at Azusa Street, we always leave out things, right? In Acts, they made sure to mention that there were women there, even Jesus' mother, Mary. When I went back and looked at what actually happened at Azusa Street, there was a woman, Neely Terry, who actually called Seymour, come, we've heard you believe in this thing of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it was Julia Hutchins' church where she must have stepped aside and let Seymour call her congregation into fasting and prayer for 10 days. They waited for the Holy Spirit to come. We don't always hear about the women behind the scenes. The Holy Spirit showed up there on the day of Pentecost and there at Azusa Street. What are we doing today? There was just another shooting and another shooting. We have siblings in cages. When Azusa Street happened in 1906, Jim Crow was the law of the land. We have some immigration laws right now that I'm sure the Holy Spirit has something to say about. In these next 3 weeks, the month of August, we will engage in studying the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to have the Holy Spirit indwell us? That our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? What does it mean that the Holy Spirit is our comforter and our advocate? The Spirit of truth in wisdom, the one who comes alongside us, leads us and guides us, and is a paraclete. I didn't have a sermon for y'all today. The Holy Spirit told me to tell you to yearn to see a demonstration like Pentecost, to learn to see a demonstration like Azusa Street, to yearn for the Holy Spirit to show up in our lives in such a way that perhaps they would write news articles about us. The collective us is not just Citywell. Please don't get me mistaken. This is a word for the whole church, for the Spirit was poured out upon all flesh. I am humbled, first and foremost, because I yearn to see God show up in that type of way. I yearn to see God show up in the way that changes out there. First changing me and then changing out there to where they know, just like when Peter stood up, that something is going on. They might call us drunk, but something would have changed. Something will be different in this world. Perhaps we would be like our big brother Jesus. When the Spirit came upon him, he said it had anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to set at liberty the captives. Maybe somehow we would be change agents, and so our brothers and sisters won't be in cages anymore. Maybe somehow this government will know that the church in and among itself is real. Laws of the land won't prohibit us from doing and living the law of God. I pray that as we engage, as we continue to engage, yes, our Sabbath, yes, a time of rest, but also a time of getting back to the basics, to yearning to see the Holy Spirit show up and show out, that we will believe that God wants to do these things in and among us. In Jesus' name, amen.